The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show. It's the Sunday cybersecurity version. I have my AI expert, AI Wynn. Are you there?
I'm here, finally.
Great. Well, Wynn is in studio. I am broadcasting remotely from San Antonio, Texas, where we have some nice, cool weather. But I'm going to remind you that just because you hear us discuss certain topics today on the air, as every week, every show every week, please don't rush out and try this on your own, whatever strategy you hear, whether it's a tax or real estate or cybersecurity strategy. Always check with your existing advisors, and if you don't have some that opine on these topics, feel free to connect with us. You can text me at area code 713-581-0195, and we will we may discuss your issue on the air. We'll see if it fits the content of the day. If not, we'll circle back during the week. Well, Wynn, what do we have to discuss today? What's today's focus?
Before we go any further, just want to reiterate what you said. It's for entertainment purpose only. And so we have several topics we talk about. Like last week, I missed the Apple just came out with a new version, Apple 16 Pro.
Yeah, do you have one yet?
Yes and no. We need to talk about how Facebook just came out with new glasses. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about the deal in Middle East on the explosion, the exploding pager.
Right. Yeah. I wonder what'll be next. Well, we had the pagers, then we had the walkie-talkies, and then we have the drones that are just flat out shooting. Down the commanders, and tell you what, it's not safe to be a Palestinian anymore, is it?
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
that's all
sure
I can say.
Is.
So they can also use against us, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. In any event.
But two of one of the cybersecurity one I want to talk about is how hacker bypasses two-factor authentications. That's something people need. Yep. So it's a little bit concerned, but there's a solution for every problem. So hopefully we'll delve into it. But let's start. Yeah. Let's talk about the Apple 16 Pro. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest. It's not what I expected. So, maybe because I already have the iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Yeah.
And I don't see, I see a little bit bigger, and I don't know, maybe the... An extra lens, but that's about it. That's about it. But the look is cool, though. The OS is cool. So I was able to download the beta version of the AI for my phone.
Okay, so it's 18, correct? The OS?
OS? The OS 18.
Yeah, I actually picked one up in store on the second day. It was available, the Apple Store here in San Antonio. One of them had every color in the 1 terabyte option. I bought it, and then I took it back because I was thinking about a different color, but lo and behold, they didn't have the color I wanted, so I just told them I'd keep checking back. But you know, I'm going to echo your comments. My 15 Pro, and for that matter my 14 Pro, I still carry both of those, I can't tell much difference, except much to my chagrin, it's bigger. I don't like these big phones. And I'm not talking about the Max or the Max Plus. I'm talking about just the basic 16 Pro.
Yeah. They have some of the pros feature that I like. Well, the Siri, the enhanced personality, the Siri.
I can't tell you anything that I saw. And, of course, I, you know, barely got through restoring. I mean, I didn't really spend much time with it. I didn't look at any of the YouTube videos on setups and stuff like that. But I probably will circle back. In fact, I was going to get a different color last night when I was there to turn the other one in.
I returned mine, by the way.
Yeah, well, they didn't have them. I mean, it's like people woke up and realized, oh, the new phone's out. I thought that I would have an issue finding availability on whatever the second day was that it came out. I think, didn't they go in the stores on like the 25th, 26th? I bought it on maybe it was Sunday, so it was 2 days after, but the store was packed, but they had plenty of stock. And now the guy told me last night, he said, yeah, we're usually out of them by noon. If you check with us in the morning hours, you're likely to one. But so, I don't know, I'll be getting one. There's no compulsion to go run out and buy it. And because, as you point out, or while you were brave enough to install the beta of the AI, I hadn't even looked for it. I knew it was out there.
Very confusing. It changed everything. Yeah. Well, the main thing is the photos and the folders. It changed a lot of stuff. Like,
did it?
Unexpected. Yeah. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. The main feature that I really like is the series. It's more humans and languages and more... The language enhances the language understanding and the context awareness. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Huh.
But the only problem I have is the privacy. It's too helpful. That's my problem. It's too helpful. It saves everything. You know, this AI. And another thing too, you're gonna use up, if you install this, it's gonna use up your memory very quickly. Very, very resource intensive.
But in terms of what it saves on the phone?
No, because
in terms of the RAM that it has?
The RAM and the
storage.
The storage,
okay,
too.
Okay, so it's the memory. Oh, both? Huh.
The processing time, because you're talking about, it's integrate across iOS between iPad and macOS. It's seamless to you, to the user, like a cross-platform Siri assistant. But it's very time-consuming because it query everything. Just think about it. It's coming alive, right?
Huh. So maybe if you have the latest iPads, the M4, I might not go back and get the phone. I may just rely on those for the...
Do you know they discontinued the iPhone 15 Pro? You know why? Because it's almost the same.
Yeah, well, I've read that elsewhere.
They discontinued.
Yeah.
It's almost
And
the
that's
same.
Highly unusual because they usually keep the... a couple of models back, right? I mean, it was only not too long ago they quit selling the 13 Mini. Yeah. And that's been out a while. I still carry one. I love that phone. It's the best phone Apple ever made, in my estimation. And actually, I saw one of their employees using one, and I mentioned to him, I said, well, man, I would think if you work here, they'd pretty much force you to have the latest stuff. And he said, man, I'm not giving this thing up. And I agree. I've long maintained I don't buy Apple's explanation of why they don't make a mini model now as, well, we didn't sell enough of them. I'd say that's a bunch of baloney because I see people constantly posting online. They're hoping for either another mini or an SE, which was very similar. The latest version. Well, maybe not the latest version. One of the versions along the way was somewhat was thinner. It was a little bit taller, maybe, than the 13, the 12 and the 13 minis.
Well, Apple.
But boy, what a wonderful phone. Yeah. And if they would put a couple features out of the Pro model into the Mini.
Oh, the camera's good. Yeah, the camera's good.
I'm convinced they'd never sell another Pro. Well, they wouldn't sell many of them, as many, because there's a lot of people that like that form factor. And especially as you get little bit of arthritis in your hands, you know, you really like that smaller phone instead of the big one. Because, boy, the Pro model, I'm constantly either dropping or almost dropping because it just reaches out over my hand, you know, too far.
And then,
but anyway.
And then Facebook, so, you know, after Apple, Facebook came out with the new glasses. Did you see that?
Well, there's something about Facebook that I just have a mental block against. I don't like it. I don't use it, or very little.
I bought all their glasses. I don't like
it. I don't like their leadership. Mm-hmm. I don't like anything about that organization. And so I'm going to let you – I'll live vicariously through you on the glasses. But tell me, before you go to the Facebook glasses, which glasses was it that were heavy AI tools built in? Was that Apple you're saying?
Apple Vision. So I upgrade mine same time I upgrade the iPhone 15 Pro.
Okay, but you were talking about a pair of glasses that
mm-hmm. I wouldn't say glasses, I say goggle. For Apple, it's more like goggle.
Okay,
you know?
But there was some glasses you were saying that you could wear and it would pick up languages.
Yeah.
Who made that? Who produced it?
That is made in Taiwan. And the company is called the Ray Neo. Okay? Ray
Neo. Spell that.
R-A-Y-N-E-O.
Okay. And does it, are they prescription capable? Or
yes.
How do you get?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can put lens on that if you want
so
to.
So you do that after you acquire, kind of like the Vision Pro.
Exactly.
You buy,
yeah.
Okay.
But I tell you, the Apple Pro, like, they're built for human because it's very logical.
You mean the Vision Pro?
The Vision Pro. Right. I'm talking about there's no need to relearn. If you are an Apple user, you put that on, you know what to do. That's how simple that is.
Yeah.
On Facebook, if you see the one that came out, you had to really relearn everything.
Is that right?
And what they have is what Microsoft used to have is called HoloLens. I collect all these goggles, and I'm telling you, Apple Vision so far is the best.
Yeah.
Bless you. Yeah. So far it's the best. Intuitive and, you know, it's... Oh.
And so when you say you upgrade, I'm assuming that was all a software upgrade, is that right?
Software, right. The software, but it's not 100% full, but it's there. For example, the Siri is there, and now they have enhanced like Microsoft Office, like the Word and Excel.
Oh, and so the apps they added, let's talk about some of them. So you've got Microsoft Office, which is nice.
And Team.
What else?
Team, Zoom, Team yeah. Zoom.
Zoom is on it now?
It's on it now.
Wow.
Now, also, all your compatible apps are still there, too. They're on a separate screen, but they're there. All your compatible apps is there.
Huh.
It's automatically uploaded.
So with Zoom, let's assume you've got your video on.
Yes.
What is the other end scene?
So here's a trick. You have to create yourself an avatar of yourself. And it's kind of graphical of yourself. So that's what they see. They see your avatar.
They don't see your surroundings?
No.
Okay.
They see you.
So if I was broadcasting out of my closet, for instance, not that I'd ever do that, just every time I'm on the air over here, they wouldn't see my closet surroundings.
No.
Oh, man, I like that. Maybe
now,
I will have to get a pair of those.
The resolution was awesome. I'm telling you, like, they have some of the immersed background. While I'm doing my work, I say, I want to be in Bora Bora. Like, you click on it, like, you actually... on Bora Bora. The only difference is you don't have the wind behind you. But if you put a fan behind your back, like, you're there. I'm telling you, they're so advanced.
I'm going to just say that when I did the demo in the store, I was blown away. That was 6 months ago now, or close to it. And I haven't seen that crisply or clearly in a long time.
And I haven't seen it either. And Microsoft,
it's amazing.
Microsoft has one called HoloLens. It costs $7,000. It's not even close. Even close. Now, this one, how do you explain this to me? I put my hand behind my back, and I click on it. How does it know? See? So it uses some kind of neural.
Didn't think it's looking. When you make the motions, you know, they have you make. When you do the demo, by the way, it's 20 to 30 minutes in the store, and the first step, the first step is they take your glasses, if you're wearing glasses, and they determine the prescription on each eye, and then they slip little lens. They have a box there on the table that's got a bunch of different lens, and so they pull the correct two out, they slip them into a slot in the goggles, and that's how they make it so easy to see. I mean, it's incredible, but I wish my glasses would see that clearly. So how does you're saying the Microsoft one, does it not have that type of support?
No, the Microsoft is, it was a few years back, like 4 years ago, I used it in the data center. Like, basically, you take time for you to learn. For example, I use it when I go to a data center and you at your desk, you can show me where the stuffs are. So I can look at it and say, hey, here's a server, here's a switch, and you can see what I see. Then you can draw it. So Microsoft started out, but I'm telling you, it's just like Google. They all started out first, but at the end, Apple going to win the battle. I mean, yeah. Facebook just came out. This the prototype they have. It's a prototype. It cost $10,000. $10,000.
The glasses?
The glasses. They call Orion glasses. But wow. I'm not very – I look at it, and I'm not too impressed with it.
Yeah.
Because all the stuff they say, and they say, hey, we're going to build this in the next couple of years. I say, Apple already have it here today.
Yeah.
It's already here. And the colors and like the 3Ds, and you can open the multiple resources, and it's there when you come back. Like you go to your kitchen, you have your cooking menu, then you go back, then you have your game, then it's all right there, right in front of you.
And back to the Vision Pro for a minute on the apps that upgrade. Does it have the Google Workspace apps now, Sheets and Docs,
I have not tried yet, but since you asked, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to try. But so far, I use Microsoft and and the team, and I tell you, that's the big one, the team. So it's there.
Man, and I got to rethink.
Now, here's the thing, though. You may not need the app. You just go to Safari. You just go on the browser. You can run most of your
stuff
already.
That's true. So you can run Google Workspace.
Exactly. So basically, you don't need the app. The app is convenient, but you can run. It's very logical. I'm very impressed with it. It's not what I and it's very intuitive.
It exceeded your expectations, is what you're trying to say.
But first time, I recommend you go to Apple, just like yourself. You go to the Apple Store and try it. If you don't, you're going to you say,
well, you won't. You'll miss a lot of the potential usages because, I mean, it is slick. Hey, Wynn, let's go ahead and pivot here for a moment to take our first break, and we'll circle back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my Sunday guest, AI Wynn.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word up to the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free.
with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I'm joined again today on our Sunday cybersecurity show with AI Wynn. Wynn has worked in this space many, many years and has significant experience with some large organizations who shall remain nameless, correct, Wynn?
That is correct.
Okay, so we've been through the first two or three of our agenda topics. What's next, Wynn?
Well, I want to dive in real quick about the planted explosive on the pagers.
Yeah.
And the impact, how's it impact the market and everything else, you know?
Okay.
So, but how everybody talk about how did they do it? How did they do it?
And let's give a little more background. We're talking about the Israelis and
we don't know. They have not admitted yet. We don't know.
Well, I understand that, but I think it's fairly certain. Nobody else has stepped up to take credit. Right. So, but anyway, so they targeted Hezbollah's. I don't know how far up the leadership chain it was, but it was far enough. I mean, they made their point, and yeah, that was the first occurrence. But anyway, it's quite a winding trail as to how that all came together. And go ahead, Wynn, and pick up from there.
Well, they have you have like over 2,000, maybe 3,000 Patriot explodes at the same time. So when they trigger it, it blow up at the same time. So that I think 9 death and 1,000 injured. And they have a couple of videos that they show online. The guy was just standing there in the market and it blow up in front of the customer.
Yeah.
So the pager, you know, I happen to have the old one 20 years ago. So I open it up and I say, wait a minute. So how do they do it? So here, there's a lot of possibility, right? One of the possibility that they say that maybe Israeli intercept the supply chain, water shipping, and then put stuff in there. But I don't think so, because it takes time. It takes time when you open it up, you have to have time to plan it, all those stuff. So another possibility happened is when the Hezbollah ordered the pagers and go to a third-party company. That company, it actually a shell company of the Mossad.
Yeah.
They actually manufactured the pager itself. In fact, when the Lebanon order from Taiwan, they did not make it over Taiwan. They outsourced them somewhere
Turkey?
No, it's not Turkey.
Or Hungary?
Hungary, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I thought it was
so
one of those.
So when they opened it up, and so Taiwan company said, wait a minute, you look at the icon. Okay, it changed. That's not us. That's not us. So they have time, months, they plan this thing, that it go through the airport. Remember, it's not something you intercept and you put it in. So they plan it real carefully, and this amazed how they did it, and it surprised the spy communities, you know, they go back to the in the 60s. But how did they do it today?
And to have the patience to create those relationships where it didn't jump out at anyone along the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, was that a Motorola? What brand was the pager?
It is the Motorola. No,
yeah.
No, it's not. It's not a Motorola. It's not a Motorola. It's a manufacturer by the Taiwan. I forgot what the name is.
Okay.
But it looked like the Motorola.
Huh.
So, now it's not just a pager. You know, also so they swap out. So they say, hey, don't use the pager anymore. So they use a walkie-talkie. And next thing you know, 600 of them blow up same time too. So now, the message sent to the Hezbollah that we might have something else in there beside the walkie-talkie too.
Yeah.
But do you see the danger? What happened? Is this thing on the airplane? That's the danger. So what is the impact? I want to talk about the impact, the negative impact of this thing. Okay?
Okay.
The negative impact is right now is change how supply chain look at things, like increased security protocol, technological countermeasure, okay, and a public awareness campaign. But the most important thing is you think about all this is going to shift all the supply from the West and go to China now because they don't trust the West to build stuff anymore. So now it shifts the entire consumer behavior, you know?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean the components were made in, you know, Asia, right? So what are you suggesting? I mean, I would have thought China was the source.
They already said,
let's call China and Taiwan.
But they're not going to trust the West to assemble the page anymore. It's going to be built and assembled in China. China got all the business now.
Yeah. Kind of like the Russian oil. Same thing.
Exactly. But my worry about is that anybody can build. No, they can use against us too. They can build something like that on the airport and we cannot detect. That's my concern.
Yeah.
Okay. They can also do it. So that's it for I just want to talk about it because that's the biggest topic last week and I think still today.
Well, you know, the thought occurs to me. I mean, it's kind of like if you really want to be safe, you got to unplug everything. Don't use a computer. Don't use a phone. I mean, it really puts a crimp in the modern day modus operandi.
So you don't use a pager. You know what you use? A pigeon. You use a bird to send
messages. Yeah, there you go.
No right. internet can hack that.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it's. I mean, if you were a participant, excuse me, if you were a participant in that activity, you sure don't want to be connected. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. They've got up their own sleeve, you know, if you look at what the Hezbollah and Hamas, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming they're pretty sophisticated, or at least if they've got the Iranian help, they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway, I just want to dive in, but the next topic I want to talk about is on the list is this maybe it's less depressing, scary, but less depressing, is the how hacker bypassed two-factor authentication.
Okay.
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 So, but before I delve into that, what is two-factor authentication? A lot of us already know what it means, but what does it mean? Okay. It's basically a security process that requires user to provide two different authentication factors to verify their identity. Plain and simple, in plain English. Right. It just adds additional layer of protection.
Uh-huh.
Before you type in your username and your password, right? Now, after you do that, it's going to send you another challenge factors, which is a code, right? It's something you know, usually your password or your PIN, and something you have is your physical device or smartphone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So by requiring both factors, the two-factor authentication make it harder for the hacker to gain access to your account, even if they type in your username and your password, but they don't have the code to send back to them because it's on your phone. So they can do that across the country, across around the world, but without those numbers, they can access it, right? So now we need to talk about how did the hacker bypass that? How are they going to bypass that?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing, that you go into your bank website. You type in Nathan Ross, blah, 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 and your password. And then you have, then they said, okay, what's your phone number? And then they text it to you. Okay. So here the first one is going to be a phishing attack. It got a phishing attack. What is a phishing? But by the way, not phishing like you fish. Okay. It's PSIS and phishing.
Yeah.
So they send a fake email or message that mimic a legitimate request from a trusted organization like your bank. Okay. And then and entering the credential into every malicious website, once a hacker has this information, they can access your user account. So that's how they do it. They create a fake credential, right? And that's number one. And number two is a man-in-the-middle attack. Do you know what that means by man-in-the-middle attack?
No, I don't. I've heard the term, but what does that mean?
Well, in a nutshell, basically the hacker intercepts the communication between the end user and the service provider.
Okay. Right?
So when you enter your login credential and your 2FA code, the hacker captures them and uses them to log your device, something like in real time. Example, if your computers get hacked, right, and I can see everything you do or your keystroke, that's how I know.
I got you.
Okay, but the third one is the most concerning, and it happened a lot. It's SIM swapping. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, right? SIM swapping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just say that after work, you decide to go to the gym and you exercise. So you left your phone inside your locker, right? I open your locker, take your phone out, take out your SIM, right? And now I can authenticate your username and password going to your bank. And I also have your SIM on my Android phone, another phone. So now I can see the text go to that phone. It's happening already.
Okay.
And that's the third option. The fourth option is account recovery exploit. I can use your name, type in your username, password, but this time I said, you know what? I forgot my password. And then go through recovery process. You see? So
yeah.
It's not going to ask for that second 2FA because you go through a second process. And from there, I can impersonate the legitimate user and bypass the 2FA during the account recovery or the reset process.
Okay.
Now, so the fifth one is malware and mobile apps. You know what? I'm glad I'm using Apple instead of Android. Android is still an open source. And it is, don't get me wrong, it's very secure, but you have to keep up with it yourself. If you download you enable a developer account on your Android, it will bypass it. It allowed the thing to download. But Apple control everything. I feel safe with Apple. So it's very difficult to hack Apple with malware.
Yeah,
all you have to do is just reboot it.
Yeah, by the way, with the 16 Pro, the short time that I had it, I discovered that you do have the ability to put a pin code on your eSIM. I think you and I were thinking we didn't. But, you know, the thing that's good about the SIM or the PIN for the SIM, whether it's eSIM or the hard physical SIM card, is it's another layer of sign-on, if you think about it, and it's a reason that you might want to get in the habit of turning your phone off anytime you would otherwise, you know, set it down or keep it somewhere for a while, because when you turn the phone on, assuming you've set a passcode, you're going to have to enter the passcode and the PIN for the SIM right behind that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's, on the one hand, it's annoying that we have to do these things. On the other hand, I don't know. I'm sure there's some tool out there that allows someone to get through the SIM PIN. No? I mean, don't mm-hmm. you think hackers have tools? It's four digits. I mean, surely there's, although I guess it locks. But, you know, the PU, what happens, because I did this once just to experiment, because I was on the phone with T-Mobile with them getting my hard SIM number changed over to an eSIM. And I asked the gentleman, I said, you know, do you have the ability to give me a PUK code if I have this SIM card lock? He goes, oh, yeah. And so anyway, it was no big deal. It was easy. But what I later discovered, because I had a hard SIM card at the end of the day, and I had picked up a new physical SIM card for one of my older phones, and the PUK code is on the little credit card sized card they give you that has, you know, it has the SIM code where you pop it out. So that there's a good reason right there not to throw that stuff away. You know, hang on to that card when you get a SIM card and put it in a safe place, because whoever has that can control access to your phone. I mean, they could blow through the SIM pin, do it three times, lock it, and then they've got the, if they have the PUK off that credit card size card that the SIM came on, they can be right in. And they can reset the pin to whatever they want it to be, right?
So, but I tell you, but the most, the number six, that option, I mean, the number six method that the hacker can hack your account is social engineering. And I think that is the most effective one today. You know why? Because they got your social security number.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I helped a friend, okay? He forgot his account. He cannot access his stock trading account.
And this is on a phone or on a desktop?
On the desktop. Now check this out, okay? So I cannot reset it. The only way I reset it to help him stand right next to him, he's right next to him, and call in the financial company, try to get him get back there to reset his password. So I got everything right. I got all the information, okay? But the last piece of information that they require is a social security. Without that, they won't give me anything else. But since I know his social security, guess what? I bypass everything.
Right.
Now it become trusted, and the financial institution will provide you everything.
Okay.
Once you have everything else and your social security, it just increases the more trust they believe in you. And I'm sitting right there. I said, the guy, and you know what? I'm not going to tell you how much I have in the account. But this, I say, wait a minute. You know, I could be him. Once I'm in there, I can transfer all his fund over. That's how scary it is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the social, you need, people need to look at their credit report more often and use some kind of an app like Norton LifeLock.
Yeah.
And anytime when people go and use your credit, they will alarm you. But
well, and especially with that recent data breach, you know, the National Public Data Corp, you know, 2.9 billion records or profiles hacked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost all of us are included in that hack. And that provided the Social Security number. So that's out there, available for purchase on the dark web, I'm assuming.
And yesterday, I was helping this gentleman here, and I play the social engineering on the person on the other side of the phone. And I tell you, I trick her so many. She was so vulnerable. I mean, it's so...
Yeah.
I manipulate her. I basically ask her the question, and I'm using her psychological left brain, and I'd be able to get so much information from her, trick her into giving me all the information that I need to reset the password.
Yeah. It could have been a him, too. We want to clarify that. It had nothing at all to do with the gender.
Yeah,
nothing
anyway,
to do Hey, Wynn, let's do this. We're about 5 minutes past our break. Let's go ahead and take the last break, and we will return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Matter how much it costs. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Sunday Cybersecurity Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about sorted topics today, the Apple Vision Pro device, which Mr. AI Wynn and I really like. It's a fascinating product, and it's as expensive as it is. When I think they started about $3,500, is that still the case?
It's still the case, but by the time but I recommend you have to buy the magnet for $29 a month.
Yeah, and then you've got some lenses if you're like me, and you've got glasses.
You want to pay those, four grand?
$250.
Yeah, $250. Yeah, close to $4,000.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's. I think it's worthwhile, and I especially think it's worthwhile when Wynn explained that the Microsoft version of goggles is $7,000, and doesn't do a lot of what Vision Pro does. So I don't know. I know these companies are putting enormous sums of money into developing this type of device, and so they don't change rapidly, so they leapfrog each other if they're on a different production cycle, and so I'm sure Microsoft's next release of whatever it's doing, or maybe not, maybe they decide they let Apple
take... The military do use them,
the Microsoft version,
version, so yeah. they enhance yeah. for target acquisition, so
oh wow yeah. Huh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, and then we also talked about the pros and cons of the iPhone 16, 16 Pro specifically. And then Wynn mentioned the Facebook Orion glasses, and their price point of $10,000 is probably going to make that a fairly
no,
restrictive.
They said the prototype cost $10,000, but their price range between $1,000 to $1,500. That's what they said.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the glasses, and including the ones that you were talking about from, what was it, Ray Neo? Is that the name? Yeah. Is that are those, they have a lot of different styles on frame choices, things like that? I mean, what are those like?
They all look the same, to be honest with you. It has to be big. It cannot be small. Now, the Ray Neo is the one thing I like about it is the language translations. But they have limited languages. But the one that they have, like Spanish, Chinese, German, French, I'm telling you, it's awesome. But it required the internet. But it translates, I tested it, okay? I went into...
So what does it have? It has a SIM card or
no.
Wi-Fi built in? Or
just Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay.
And I was very surprised. It translates pretty good. and
put it well, out. And then we talked further about Israel's use of explosives and pagers and walkie-talkies to take out a lot of Hezbollah's command level personnel or persons. And then just for the break, we were talking about how hackers bypass two-factor authentication. And now, the last topic, when we've got, about 7 minutes, let's talk about the GPS spoofing. And, you're talking about it in the context of what I think, I can't remember where the article was this week, but it's and I'm not sure who's behind it. Do they know who's behind the airliner?
Well, it happened in Ukraine, so I guess it's got to be the Russian.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it's happening in Ukraine. So
effectively, there's an attempt to confuse the pilot on his bearings, his settings, as to where they're at in the sky, and that they're, which, in one illustration, the system was, the combination of flight controls was telling the pilot they needed to go up or down. And then I think it also might, it has the ability to direct them to, a different airport or a different part of the...
Exactly, because we so rely on the GPS to fly. They use an autopilot, right?
Yeah. But, the article also interviewed some experienced pilots, and thus far, it doesn't sound like, Wynn, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't sound like, at least of the people they talked to, that it fooled the pilot in the overall. It may have momentarily, which that might be all you need if you were trying to, have two planes in the immediate area collide, right? I mean, it's definitely a risk. When, in layman's terms, what is spoofing? You hear that term used a lot, whether it's a VPN or another connection. It's not just in connection with GPS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is spoofing? How does it work? How does someone, like, I know an example that if you could explain it, I get phone calls from numbers that look like mine. I mean, in other words, if my number was 713-222, 38 whatever, I'll get a call from a similar number. Maybe it's off by a digit or two.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I've heard that that's someone that spoofed my phone number, and so I'm not sure.
In layman's term, in layman's term, spoofing refers to disguising yourself as someone else.
Okay.
But in term, now this, we talk about called communication.
In this context, what is spoofing? In other words, spoofing sounds like it's almost like getting a log on. I mean, how does somebody control
GPS? I'm going to give you one
GPS?
Example. Well, same. They using this is called electronic warfare. Okay. Electronic. They send out the signal to confuse the GPS. So it's not that hard. There are devices available today that are doing that. Okay, like you were driving, and there's a system that blocked the either they block it or they redirect. Now, as a consumer, we don't have that technology, but I'm pretty sure state sponsor terrorism, they or state sponsor like the government entity, they can do it, right? They can jam the GPS, they can jam the satellite. They do it all the time. The Chinese and the Russian and the U.S., they test each other all the time.
Yeah.
So, they could do interference. Now, I'm giving you one example of, I actually have something that I spoofing, okay? Like the phone. I can pretend somebody else and calling you. For example, I can pretend your sister, phone number. So when you see it calling, you thought it was your sister calling you, but actually it's me. And I tested it already today. Actually, it's called spoofing, pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I get people calling me back on our company corporate Ring Central phone system, and they're saying, hey, I just missed a call from you.
you know, one of these days I'm going to do a test on you.
And I say, well, no, we didn't call you, or I didn't call you. And so I'm just curious. I mean, someone has been able to get our number, and I mean, I'm just assuming it's spoofing. It could be somebody that works at a company that has the numbers. Who knows? I mean, you don't know, but I'm not quite sure what the purpose of that use of that number is, unless they're trying to sell something.
Well, you know,
the guys, you know, being a different company.
We block every phone number, right?
Right.
So the collector, I'll tell you who uses it the most, the collector.
Oh, I see.
Right. Yeah. The majority of them use it. They pretend to be somebody else that you know that calling from another office and try to call you, because otherwise they know who you are, they won't pick it up, right? You collect, I'm not going to pick you up. Or you try to repossess my car, repo my car, I'm not going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Or bondsman, whatever. But you don't answer my phone, I'm going to pretend somebody, I'm going to call you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Google authentication getting smart now. You cannot use that. I already tried. I cannot use the spoofing to spoof them, to create another account. They say, what's your phone number? And I try to use the third-party account, fake one. They know.
Uh-huh.
They know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they won't let you. So Apple, Google, and Microsoft, they're getting smarter. You know?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot at stake.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Anyway, you know, last I want to touch back.
We've got about just about a minute left, so go ahead.
Bypassing factor authentication. Use VPN, and I cannot stress enough. Use VPN and use some kind of a service that protect your credit, because that is going on right now, and it's getting worse.
Yeah. No, you're right. I've already seen evidence of that in National Public data breach. I had ostensibly it was someone representing, they were with Bank of America, and they were asking me, did you ask for a certain credit card ending in such and such? And I said, no, I didn't. And so they said, well, then do we have your authorization to cancel it? And I said, yes, you do. Well, then he said, well, hold on, we're going to transfer you to Experian. You know, they're a credit reporting group. And so they transferred me to somebody, and I was already thinking, you know, this is part of that data breach, because they had my Social Security number, apparently. And anyway, but the party that came on the line, they were trying to sell me something. They wanted to sell debt relief. But anyway, okay, well, I hear we're coming up on the end. When enjoyed the show today. Glad you could join us, and we'll look forward to next Sunday. For the cybersecurity version of Be a Planner, but otherwise we'll be back on Thursday at 2 p.m. with more tax and real estate related content. We're glad you could join us, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.